Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Feed Your Faith. I'm your host, Courtney Kopeck. And on today's episode, I am going to be talking about living life with a non-diet approach and what that really looks like. I think that people are really confused about what it means to actually live life not dieting. I think the idea of absolutely letting go of dieting, I think, scares a lot of us. And I think for many people, it's confusing. It's kind of like, well, if I'm not dieting, then what am I doing? Just shoving my face full of ho-hos all day? So I just want to explain what it really means to be a non-dieter and also give a lot of tips around how you can incorporate this approach into your life so that you are still eating in a structured way, a way that serves your body with purpose and with nourishment without feeling like you're totally out of control and you just can't handle your food and you have no, get up and go when it comes to wanting to exercise and move your body. Because it's not just this haphazard way of going through living life with food and exercise. And that's kind of what I think a lot of people think of when they think of letting go of the structure of dieting. So that is what we are going to be talking about today. And I'm also really going to be speaking upon what Jesus has to say about dieting in the Bible, because believe it or not, he's got some words around it. So I'm super stoked for this episode because it's jam-packed. But before we start that, I just have a few announcements to make. So stay tuned.
Welcome to Feed Your Faith. I'm your host, Courtney Kopeck, and I'm a Christian food and body image coach. I spent most of my life hating my body and feeling frustrated with food. Then God stepped in and showed me something so supernatural in his word, it transformed my life forever. Now I have peace around food and feel comfortable in my body. I am teaching female followers of Christ all over the world how to find this exact same food freedom through a deeper faith in Jesus. Join me in fellowship here every week as I discuss biblical scriptures directed towards how to treat and love our own bodies, as well as share personal struggles and thoughts around food and body image and the role God plays in both. I also talk with other women of faith who share their personal stories and wisdom around God's grace in putting a final end to their own food and body image drama. This episode is brought to you by my free 7-day devotional, 7 Steps to Food Freedom Through Faith. If you're ready for some answered prayers around your food struggles and body image issues and want to start living abundantly in the life God has waiting for you, where you are truly free from binging, food restricting, and yo-yo dieting, get my free 7-day devotional, 7 Steps to Food Freedom Through Faith. Go to CourtneyKopeck.com/sign-up for free devotional. That's CourtneyKopeck.com/sign-up for free devotional. And now let's get to the podcast.
Jump right in because we have a lot to cover today, and this is a very important topic. I want everyone to be really clear about the difference between living life as a dieter and living life as a non-dieter, and how that is like how it plays out as a spiritual person, as someone who is a follower of Jesus, as someone who believes in God, as someone who wants to live a life where their sole purpose isn't around serving themselves. Because that's really what this is all about, right? We, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, as followers of this big light, we do not want to be self-serving. And something that I think Satan has done a supreme job at is tricked us into believing that diets do not self-serve us, rather improve us, rather are something that God wants us to be doing because they make our bodies better. And this is anything but that for most of us, okay? I'm just going to hop right into the scripture, okay? This is Colossians 3, all right? Colossians 3, 20 through 23. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use because they are based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body. But they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. That one sentence, their harsh treatment of the body, really popped out at me. I mean, I've totally read that before, and that part never struck a chord with me until recently. If you think about what are things that we overindulge in that are harsh treatments for the body, it would be things like alcohol, drugs, I think like dangerous sexual activities. And like food. And then maybe some other activities, you know, people who have depression sometimes get involved in things like cutting, that kind of stuff, right? But dieting is totally another one. And it has false humility to it. We approach dieting as a way of bettering ourselves. We believe that through dieting, we are making a healthy choice. We come to it like a servant. We bow down to it because we believe that it's going to make our lives better. We believe that it's going to give us all sorts of things that as Christians, we feel like we need. We need discipline. We need healthy bodies. We need to be feeding ourselves in a way that's going to give us longer lives. We need to be able to be goal setters. We need to be able to have more patience in life. We need to be able to have more focus. We are given these bodies that we feel like we need to be able to be moving and strengthen and treat better. All sorts of these things, right? And dieting comes to us and it says, this is the package I'm going to give you. Follow me. And I'll give you all this stuff. And in return, you're going to have more vitality, more energy, more health. And because of those things, you're also going to be thinner. And that's what you really want. You want the thin part because with the thin part is going to come better relationships, better sex, more friends, more attention, more opportunities in life. More affection, more love, more confidence, more security, And that's really what we're seeking out of all of this. When you peel back the layers, the truth is what we're really seeking when we go to dieting is security, self-confidence, and to know that we matter, to know that we're seen, to know that we're included. That's what we all seek all the time. In anything we do in life, what we're really looking for is reassurance to know that we matter, that we've made it, that we aren't just a piece of garbage. The problem is, that we don't have the control over our bodies the way that dieting tells us we do. Many of us never even needed to change our bodies, although dieting said we had to. We are all given stress in this world. We are all given things that tell us we don't measure up, things that make us feel insecure, unworthy. And we are all given the choice to go down that path and believe those lies that come directly from the dark one, or to follow the light. Follow the truth. Follow the path of Jesus that says, no, I love you. You are chosen. You are my child. I am making you new through me. And because of my grace and my mercy, you are accepted as you are. And you need do nothing to earn my grace and my mercy. In fact, in Colossians 3, it says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And that includes to yourself. You have to clothe yourself with compassion towards yourself, kindness towards yourself, humility towards yourself, gentleness and patience towards yourself. Bear with yourself and forgive whatever grievances you have towards yourself. Forgive yourself as the Lord forgave you. See, dieting comes in and says you're not good enough. You're not forgivable as you are right now. You're not going to live a long life. You're not going to have the things of this world that you could have, that you should have, that you deserve. God can't take you as you are. He needs you to change. He wants you to lose weight. Then you'll start seeing the promises he has for you. See, we get tricked by dieting. Now, for some of us, the stress has been too much with life. We've been hurt. And we have used food as a way to comfort ourselves. And we have certainly abused it. Yes, there is such a thing as gluttony with food, for sure. I was bulimic for years. Completely mistreated my body. Completely mistreated food. Abused it. I've also restricted food, not fed my body. Again, abused my body. Harsh treatment of the body. But they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. And that is what I was doing. Completely indulging myself in self-pity, that was the biggest one, boy oh boy, did I sit on the pity pot for a long, long time. I didn't know who I was in Jesus. I knew I loved Jesus, but I did not believe who I was as a follower of Jesus. I believed who I was as a person living in the world, that I was fat, that I needed to be thin, that my life couldn't start until I looked a certain way. And dieting took me down a very, very complicated road. There were good things that came out of my dieting. I was introduced to exercise, and I really, truly did love it. But it also made me very, very, very aware of my body. And I became addicted to it. Like, I couldn't even go on vacation without exercising. I couldn't eat a meal without making sure that I put in an extra 20 minutes of exercise the next day. Dieting did help to teach me about whole grains and processed foods and fiber. All good things. But I became obsessed with portion sizes and macronutrients and carbohydrates and ketosis and clean eating and everything else. I had food measuring cups and colored containers and plastic cups to put shakes in and spiralizers for my veggie noodles and all sorts of gadgets and trinkets galore. I didn't just eat. Eating was a process. It lost its simplicity for me. And it became a very regimented, complicated, calculated thing. I had begun to worship my body, not as something, as a beautiful temple that belonged to my Lord Jesus, that was his, but as something to be manipulated and molded into whatever shape and size and form the world had told me it needed to be at that time. And when I stopped being able to control it, when the pounds stopped coming off and the muscle wasn't coming on as quickly anymore, I lost my mind. And the obsession grew greater. And the frustration grew bigger. And the way I treated people grew harsher. Because I couldn't enjoy my day because I was so taken up with thoughts around when would the pounds come off again? When would I look the way I did 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 6 months ago? When would I look the way I want to 6 months from now, 3 years from now, 10 years from now? I never lived in the present moment. I never looked in the mirror and said, "Hey, Courtney, you look great today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this body that I am living and breathing in that is serving me today." Never. It was always, "I need more. This isn't good enough." And that is the disease that dieting brings to the brain. We start off with dieting with good intentions. But it is a sickness. And we keep going back to the same sickness over and over and over again, hoping that each time this will be the time that works for us. This will be the time that we get it right. That we'll be able to stick to the plan. You cannot stick to a plan that is unstickable. It's not you that has the problem. It's the diet. Because God created us to be able to eat all foods. God created us to be able to enjoy all foods. And if you're having a struggle being able to control yourself around food, dieting is not going to be your savior. Jesus is. Dieting is going to make you feel worse. When have you ever gone on a diet that has changed your life for the better, even 5, 10, 15 years down the road? Maybe after a year you were still feeling good. 2 years you still felt good. But 5 years? 10 years, were you still doing that diet? Or were you gaining the weight back? Were you trying a different diet? And then we talk about lifestyle change. Well, I'm just trying to make a healthy lifestyle change. Well, why is it so hard for you to do that? Why can't you do it? How come every new year it's a new lifestyle change? And then come March, June, August, you're slipping out of that lifestyle change. You just can't seem to stick with it. It shouldn't be that hard. Because it's not your fault. God doesn't want you to work so hard to change. Let Him change you. You don't need to be doing so much change. But that's what the world tells us. That we need to change all the time. That we're not good enough as we are. And dieting is the way, the key, the mystical, magical fix that's going to get it all done as women. This is the number one way you can solve all your problems. Just get thin. Just have a lifestyle change. Suddenly you'll have more money, more friends, Let me tell you something. I never felt so insecure as when I was thinner. I felt good when I was losing the weight. I never felt thin enough. I always felt like I needed to keep losing more. And I felt like I had to keep up this charade. I always felt like the fat girl in the thinner body. Like nobody believed it. Like it was a charade I was putting on. Like everyone was just waiting for me to get fat again. I was waiting for me to get fat again. And I busted my butt day after day to keep myself thin. It was real work. It took up every ounce of energy I had. Because every time I went back to normal eating, where I ate bread like a normal person, and I saw the scale starting to go up, it was like, oh no, I just am not a person who can eat bread. I just can't eat bread. No, I can eat bread. I just have to recognize the fact that my body has a certain set point weight, which I'll tell you really quickly. Your set point weight is the natural weight at which your body works very hard to be at. It's a genetic, biological weight that your body is at. It works very hard to be at a certain weight. So let's say you're at 120 pounds through dieting. And when you go off the diet, you really are around 140, 150. It's not because you can't eat bread and you start getting heavier. It's because that is the weight. That's your natural weight, 140 pounds. And in order to be 120, you have to diet for the rest of your life. Does that make sense? You may think you can't eat cookies. You may think you can't have snacks. You may think you can't eat pretzels because you gain weight. Let me tell you, you can eat those things. It's just that you're not going to be 120 pounds. Now, for some of you, you may not be willing to accept that. Fine. Your prerogative. You can go on dieting. I'm not going to be here telling you what you can and cannot do. I just know that I was tired of it. I was sick of living in false humility. I was sick of living off human commands and teachings, regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Yeah. See, diet seems smart. All these gurus out there with their wisdom. And yet everyone says, I just read an article the other day. I don't know how many of you saw this, but I can't remember her last name. She did like The Biggest Loser. She's a huge fitness lady. I want to say Julianne Moore, but it's not her because she's an actress. Jillian Michaels. That's her name, not Julianne. Jillian Michaels. She was talking about how she's against the ketosis diet, going into ketosis. And I guess Halle Berry was saying how she's all for it. She lost all this weight. And Jillian Michaels is like totally against it. Whenever a new diet comes out, you've got all these people that are raving about it. And then you have all these other professional people that are like, no, that's such a horrible idea. It's not good for you. Well, why? How come we can't come out with something where everybody is like, yep, this is finally it. They've nailed it on the head. Ninety-five percent of diets fail. And this is an industry we're trusting, where no one can agree on a diet that works, where everybody's arguing over it, saying no, it's horrible for you, or yes, it's great for you, but no one can agree on one diet? And 95% of them fail? If there was an airline out there where 95% of the planes crashed, would you go on that airline? It's crazy. So let's talk about what a non-diet approach to life is. Well, actually, let me tell you what it's not. It's not giving up on exercise. It's not stuffing your face full of food all day long. It's not giving up on your body. It's not eating like fried chicken and just like garbage all the time. A non-diet approach is simply that. It's just not being on a diet. Okay? It's not living life from one diet to the next or on a diet and then pigging out and then going back to another diet and then pigging out again and then going back to another diet. It's none of that. It's listening to your body, tuning into your body, and eating according to how your body is telling you it needs to be fed. So I follow roughly an intuitive eating sort of plan. And for those of you who aren't familiar with what intuitive eating is, it's basically tuning into your body's hunger and fullness cues and basing what you want to eat off of that. You eat when you're hungry, you stop when you're full. I don't follow it to a T because you can turn that into the hunger fullness diet. And we eat when we're not hungry many times, right? So you can't just be only eating when you're hungry and full. But it's a general sort of thing to base yourself with. It's a baseline to start. Foundation is the word I'm looking for. And you listen to your cravings. You listen to what your body wants. You stop and you think, okay, so it's lunchtime. What am I in the mood for? And you might say, oh man, I really want a hamburger. And you have a hamburger. You don't say, oh, I'm not going to have a hamburger because last night for dinner I had spaghetti. Or you don't say, well, okay, I'm going to have the hamburger because I had a salad last night. I was good last night. There is no good or bad with the eating. It's just eat. I just eat. I eat whatever I want. And you trust yourself to make good choices because your body will make good choices. It will. If you let it. But you have to trust it. I have an honest theory about why kids eat so much sugar. They need a ton of energy. They are burning so much energy. They're growing so quickly, and all they do is run around. I know this. I have three boys. I see it every day. All my kids do is eat, literally all day long. I'm a stay-at-home mom. My children are with me 24/7. All they do is eat, and all they want is carbs, sugar, snacks. Their bodies want fat, carbs. They want stuff that's going to provide them a lot of quick, fast energy because that's what they need. They don't want vegetables. Vegetables don't have a lot of calories. They don't have a lot of carbohydrates. That's why they don't crave it. That's why they don't like the way they taste. But, you know, as we get older, as we grow, our bodies need different things. And that's why we start wanting the vegetables more. It's also why we still crave the sweets because it's comforting to us. It reminds us of childhood. It reminds us of safer times, of happier times. You know, I think food is such a genius thing, but, you know, God is such a genius. It's such a gift to us, taste buds and eating and the pleasure and joy that it brings. you know, but like with anything, there can be overindulgence. And you have to be bringing yourself to the Lord and asking for whatever it is that you need to be able to treat your body with respect and to treat the gifts and the blessings that God has given you with respect. And that includes food. But you also need to trust your body, and you need to trust God with your body. That is a huge part of being a non-dieter. Because if you're someone who's been abusing your body for a long time, abusing food for a long time, it can be really difficult to embrace that kind of trust. But God wants you to have it because you're meant to have it. I'll tell you what you're not meant for. You're not meant to diet your entire life. You're not meant to be a worrier around food. You're not meant to be a worrier around your weight. That is not God's plan for you. I used to think that my weight was a burden. You know, I used to think that because I didn't have this build of a supermodel, or just, you know, I mean, I still catch myself sometimes like looking at girls who are thin naturally and thinking, why? You know, I mean, I used to look at them that way. Now I kind of look at them and I'm like, it's just so interesting to me. I'm so interested that she can eat whatever she wants and she looks that way. And I can't. I can eat whatever I want, but I can't look that way. I find it fascinating. It doesn't hurt me the way it used to. I used to get mad. I used to get upset. I used to get so angry about it. Why, God? Why can't I be like that? Why didn't you make me that way? What did I do to deserve this body? And then I realized it's not like that. Everybody has a unique thing, you know, and our bodies are all different and unique, and it's really how we perceive them. If I choose to believe that there's something wrong with my body based off of what the world tells me, then yeah, I'm going to think that God screwed up. I'm going to think that I did something wrong. I'm going to think that this is a punishment. I'm going to wish that I didn't have the genes that I have. I'm going to think that my family got a bad batch of genes when it comes to weight. Or I can choose to think that maybe the world has got it twisted. Maybe there's nothing wrong with my body. Maybe my body's beautiful. Dare I say it? Dare I actually believe that I have a beautiful, gorgeous figure? What if I went around believing that? What would that mean for me in my life? Why can I not believe that? What's stopping me? It's not God, that's for darn sure. How we perceive ourselves is so valuable to God. We are not meant to be Christians hating who we are. This is why God tells us time and again, get yourself out of the world. You're in it, yes, but your mind has got to be on Christ. I don't quite think I'm going to get this quote right, and I don't know where it is in the Bible, but I know that Jesus says something like, yes, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. Where are you focusing yourself? It is okay to decide to be a non-dieter because that is where Jesus wants you to be. I just put a quote up the other day in my Christian Women's Food Freedom Facebook group. And if you're not a member of the group, I highly recommend you check Facebook for it. Christian Women's Food Freedom. I'm getting tongue twisted here. Christian Women's Food Freedom Through Faith Facebook group. It's a private group. It's full of phenomenal women all trying to just love their bodies and get closer to Christ. It's amazing. And I just put this scripture up there the other day. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink. It's from Colossians 2:16. That's what dieting is all about. Judging yourself by what you eat or drink. Other people judging you by what you eat or drink. How many times have you been told you need to go on a diet? Here's something personal I'll share with you. Growing up, my mother, and I tell you right now, she will tell you she never said this to me, but I know she did. Really told me all the time, I need to go on a diet. I can't remember if she like specifically said it to me, but it was anytime she was going on a diet, I went on the diet with her. It was what we did together. We dieted together. We lost weight together and then we gained the weight back together. And we were a team. And then there was my skinny as a toothpick brother who just sat and ate cookies around us. But it was me and her against the world with dreams of getting skinny together, which never ended up happening. I mean, I don't think we ever lost more than 10 pounds on any diet, which is like so pathetic. But we kept trying them. When I started gaining weight from this medicine that I was put on, I was so distraught at the amount of weight and how quickly it was put on. And I realized that a huge fear that I had was that my mother was going to reject me because I was at a weight I had not been at in years. See, when I was this weight pregnant and when I was this weight after the baby, I didn't mind because A, I was pregnant, or B, I was losing the pregnancy weight. So it didn't matter. It was like I had a legit reason to be this heavy. But to just have this weight come on through nothing that I was doing, it's not like I was overeating or anything like that. And I don't even know if that matters. The point is to have this weight come on, to be getting to a weight that I had not been at since my fat days, struck a traumatic chord with me that I didn't even recognize until I really sat down and thought about it. Like, why am I all of a sudden not utilizing all these tools that I have in my toolbox about body acceptance and Jesus and knowing my worth through him? And I recognized that some of it was my relationship with my mother. See, we all have these relationships with people that have affected how we view our bodies. For some of you, it's your husbands, your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, your grandfather, whoever, your best friend, your teacher, I don't know. But somewhere down the line, somebody has made you feel fat. And I sat down with my mother and I was crying and I said, I need to know that no matter how much weight I keep gaining, if I keep gaining, you're going to accept me and you're not going to tell me that I need to go on a diet. And she was like, oh my gosh, no, I would never say that to you. And it was nice to hear, but at the same time, I was like, well, you said it before. I mean, I didn't say that out loud, but that's what I was thinking. Not only that, but my brother, who suffers from a mental illness and is on some antipsychotic drugs that make him gain weight, she tells him he needs to lose weight all the time. She's always putting him on a diet. So see, another thing that can scare us into taking the leap from a life of dieting to a life of non-dieting is being judged. Are people going to accept us as non-dieters? Because they are so used to us dieting. What is that going to look like for us? Jesus does not want your focus to be on what you're eating, period. Jesus does not want your focus to be on what other people think about what you're eating, period. Jesus does not want your focus to be on your weight. The only thing Jesus wants your focus to be on is Him. It's so hard to do that. But that's why we need Him so much. There is so much space to be filled with Christ in our lives. Because there is so much space that we're filling with the world. When I think of how much garbage I take in from the world around me, that I could really be filling with God, it depresses me. I'm so tempted by the superficial. I don't know if it's because I'm a woman and it's like in our nature, and I'm not trying to sound, oh, I can't think of the word right now. I'm so horrible about thinking about words. Sexist, there it is. But I do think women love shopping. And I do think we love shoes and pretty things. And I could shop all day long, every day. I could fill my house with so much crap if I let myself do it. It is hard for me. I think this is why God does not give me a lot of money. I really do. And I could make my body into such a beautiful thing. Do you know what I mean by that? I could turn my body into a bauble because I've tried to do it before. I want to have the most beautiful things around me. This is just my personality. And if I must have the most beautiful things around me, then my body must be part of that. Do you understand? And if the world says that to have a beautiful body, that it must look like this, then I will do what I'm supposed to do to make my body look like that because I want to have the most beautiful thing, which is a perfect body. Now, some of you don't need to have the perfect body. Some of you just want to lose 10 pounds, 5 pounds, 1 pound, 2 pounds, 3 pounds. Whatever. We all have different reasons for why we want to lose weight. Some of you have doctors that told you you need to lose weight for health reasons. I want to be healthy. I want to live a longer life. You know what? Your body wants you to live a long life too. You think God gave you a body where he wants you to be dead in 5 years? First of all, if God wants you dead in 5 years, you'll be dead in 5 years. If you're not treating your body right, then that's between you and God. God will help you nourish your body the way it needs to be nourished. And if weight loss is part of that, then that will happen naturally without you needing to go on a diet. I promise you that. We all know that whatever God wants for us, he will provide for us as long as we are seeking him. Period and done. But it is not going to be found through dieting. God gave us the miracle of these bodies, and that means he provided through these bodies a very simple way to go through life. An easy way. Our bodies know so much. They know how to tell us what they need. We've lost the ability to listen to them because we've chosen to follow the world's leading, the world's instructions, the world's false humility, fake wisdom. And we've completely lost touch with ourselves. I have so many girlfriends who don't even know what fullness feels like anymore. They don't even know what hunger feels like anymore because they've restricted themselves to the point where their bodies have stopped letting them know they're even hungry anymore. Their bodies say, what's the point? She doesn't even feed us. We're not going to send out that hormone anymore. It's time to start getting back in touch. It's time to let go and say, I'm not going to be ruled anymore. I'm going to let God do the ruling. I'm going to trust God to get me back in tune with this body that he has blessed me with. He has given you a body that is keeping you alive, and it's your responsibility to treat it with respect. And part of that job is to not be destroying it. And when you are dieting, you're destroying your body. You're destroying your ability to understand it, to be in tune with it, to nourish it. To love it. Not just love it by the foods you feed it, but really love it. When you're dieting, all you're doing is judging it. And when you're judging your body, you're judging God. You're judging God. You're saying, you screwed up. You didn't give me a good metabolism. You gave me a problem with food. You gave me an addiction to food. There's no such thing as an addiction to food. That's crap. You cannot be addicted to food. Do you get the sweats? Do you get nauseous? Can you die if you don't eat food? Well, yeah, you can die if you don't eat food, but that's from starvation. It's not the same as being addicted to alcohol or drugs. You don't go through the same withdrawal. That's true addiction to something. You don't have that experience with food. It's not being addicted to food. It's restricting yourself from food. That's the problem. And then going overboard when you finally allow yourself to have some of it. Your body's like, yes, she's finally giving us some of those Cheetos we've been wanting. Let's just have the whole bag now. Your body's not stupid. It's going to get as much as it possibly can if it hasn't been getting any of it all. It makes perfect sense. The body doesn't know when it's going to get fed again. So when it does start getting fed, it wants as much as it possibly can get. The body's entire job is to keep you alive. And food is how it does that. And if you're not feeding yourself, then when you do finally feed yourself, your body is going to eat and it's going to overeat. You are not addicted to food. I'll tell you what you are addicted to. Following the world. Now, I just really want to quickly talk about the exercise portion of the non-diet approach, because this has been a really tricky subject for me. I took a year off of exercise because I just could not exercise without being focused on my physical appearance. And it was hard because exercise was also a huge way that I relieved stress and I felt good, you know? But I was like, you know what? I can't do this until I feel as though I'm ready to be able to get back to it without being so focused on what I look like. And I wondered if there even was a way to exercise without being focused on what I look like, because I'm not the kind of person that can just go for a walk. When I exercise, I need to be like balls to the wall, sweating, like, you know, dripping sweat. I'm not a big yoga person. To me, it's like, oh, I'm not burning enough calories. I mean, I love yoga for it's like getting in tune and in touch and the breathing and stuff. It's beautiful. And I love the holding poses and the strength that it involves. But I've always been someone who's like, if I'm not burning 1,000 calories or putting on a ton of muscle, then I don't want to bother with it. So I took a year off. And I think that people think, well, if you're not dieting, then you're not exercising, you know, or whatever. So non-diet approach with exercise. Here's the thing. I love the way that fit women look. I love lifting weights. I loved the way I looked when I was really into lifting weights. I have a girlfriend who does CrossFit, and I think she looks amazing. She's really toned and strong and just fit, and she's just gorgeous. I have another girlfriend who is extremely fat. And I think she's also totally gorgeous. And she doesn't really exercise very much. I think both of them are absolutely gorgeous women. So I'm not trying to say that the one who exercises more than the other is more attractive than the other. And this is my point, that I think that when you're doing a non-diet approach, you have to include some kind of movement that makes you happy. And that's the key. It has to be something that makes you happy. And it needs to be done in a way that doesn't make you self-focused. In other words, it's not going to make you be prideful when you're like walking around out in public. It's not going to make you self-obsessed, self-absorbed, because those are all things that Jesus does not want. You need to still have humility and humbleness. I think that it's okay to feel good about yourself, and I think that it's okay to feel proud of your movement. Totally. You know, it's not like we can never do anything that's an achievement and not feel good about ourselves. We always have to have that humility. And we always need to recognize that the only reason why we ever can accomplish anything is through the strength of God. It's never really us that's accomplishing anything. It's always God working through us. And I think that that is the key. When you approach your exercise as though it's the Lord working through you, rather than you yourself getting it done, It's such a different concept. So if you're having trouble figuring out what kind of exercise you can do that you enjoy, pray about it. Find out what Jesus would like you to be doing. How would Jesus like you to be moving? How many times a week does Jesus want you to be moving? How many minutes does Jesus want you to be moving for? You don't necessarily have to be breaking out in this huge sweat. Maybe just parking farther away from, you know, the grocery store. Every time you go to the grocery store is something. Using stairs instead of always taking the elevator is something. Everybody has it different. We're all different people, and Jesus uses us differently. Jesus is working differently through each and every one of us. So you tap into Jesus and find out what he wants to do through you. Do not compare yourself to anybody else. You are your own person, and Jesus has his own plan for you. So I know for me, I'm really looking forward to getting back into the gym and lifting weights again. And the prayer that I have decided to really focus on is that I would remind myself that every day I walk through those gym doors, it's the Lord motivating me to get there. You know, that like when I start to see muscle coming back on, when I start to notice that my arms are getting firmer and more toned, I don't start feeling bitter about myself, like more confident. I want to start feeling more praise, more in love with Jesus. Does that make sense? I don't want to feel better about myself. I want to feel more confident in Christ. That's what I want. Like, yeah, Jesus is there for me. He's working it. He loves me. He's getting me through. Not, yeah, I'm looking good. Look at me. I go work out. I'm fit. I'm better than you. Because that was the old mindset. And it's hard not to put that mindset on when you're focused on your build. You're competing against other people. You're at the gym. You see the same people there. You're lifting weights. You want to look good. You want to look strong. I don't want to have that mindset anymore. I just want to focus in on the fact that I am working on a body that God gave me. And that with every bit of muscle I end up gaining, it's proof that I have my Savior working for me in my life. I want it to be all about Jesus. That's my prayer. And that is another part of a non-diet approach to life, because with dieting, it's totally not about Jesus. It's all about self. You want to look good to show other people that you're better than them, that you're working on self-improvement. Self-improvement, when it comes to dieting, is so much about letting other people know you care about yourself, and so you're better than them. People always love to announce, like, I work at a bar, right? So I give dessert out. I said, do you want dessert? I love when I offer people dessert, because I so often hear, oh no, I have to be good. People are telling me they have to be good. And what they're really saying is, I'm better than other people because I don't get dessert. That's what they're really saying. And what they're really saying when they're saying that is, I'm insecure about my weight. Yep. I don't care if you get dessert or not. You don't need to tell me that you're trying to be good. What are you trying to say by that? Is getting dessert bad? I didn't know. I know dessert's delicious, and I like to eat it any chance I get. Now, if you tell me you're full and you don't want dessert, that's fine. I get that. But if you're trying to tell me that you're trying to be good, what you're really saying is you feel like a fatty and you're insecure about your weight. And I wish I could say that back to the person, but I can't. I know that wouldn't be very nice, and that wasn't very Christian of me to just say, but like sometimes I just want to call people out on their baloney. You know, like, wake up, lady. Well, that is all we have for today. Sorry to end the segment on that note. But I hope you guys kind of understand the difference now between like a dieting life and a non-diet approach. It's not about living life like some slob on the couch who just eats potato chips all day. It is having respect for your body. It is enjoying physical activity still. It's with much more respect to yourself. It's loving and forgiving yourself, just like God loves and forgives you. It's keeping yourself in line with God's plan for your life. It's living naturally, organically, the way God intended, without judgment around what you eat and what you look like, and without letting the world decide who you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to look like. And ultimately, giving the middle finger to God as though he messed up somewhere. And you've got this problem now, this problem body, this problem food issue. You want to live your life letting God know that you receive his blessings wholeheartedly, openly, and with humbleness. And you want to honor those blessings as best you can. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much. We thank you for these amazing bodies that you have given us. And we thank you for the diversity. There is so much diversity in this world. And yet, as humans, we're constantly trying to make everybody the same. Help us to remember that in diversity, that different shapes and sizes are one of the things that make us so beautiful. Help us to accept what our shape and size is. Help us to seek you for guidance around our food, for forgiveness around the way we have treated ourselves with food, for strength to begin to trust our bodies again. Help us to turn away from the world and the temptation to listen to it. Help us to turn away from the temptation to follow another diet, to believe the false lie that another diet is going to fix all our problems, and know the truth that you are the only fixer of any of our problems. Help us to find our worth in you, God. Teach us, Lord. Teach us to know what it means to really have a deep, beautiful relationship with our bodies, one where we respect and honor and accept them 100%, because they were created by you and made specifically for us, a home for our souls to dwell in, to reside in, to relax in, to live in peace in, and to experience joy in. They are 100% our very own. And we want to own them, God, as gifts to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Feed Your Faith. I had so much fun with you today, and I really hope that you got something out of the podcast. Please do not forget to subscribe to the podcast. That way you will never miss an episode. And also, if you're interested, I run an amazing Facebook group, Christian Women's Food Freedom Through Faith. Go to Facebook and just put in, you know, Facebook.com/Courtney Kopek, and you will come across it. Definitely check that out. And don't forget to sign up for my free 7-day devotional, 7 Steps to Food Freedom Through Faith, that you can get over at my website, www.courtneykopek.com. Have a blessed day.
Thank you.